Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil and the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is God's word. Please be seated. Dear God, we thank you for a chance to look at your word together. Thank you for Ephesians 6, 1 to 10, that you inspired your apostle Paul to write this passage to the church in Ephesus. We thank you that it's your word to your people now. And we do pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see. We pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine it's the year 1350 and you were born in France. Does anybody know what was going on in the year 1350 in France? Some of you, medieval history buffs. Well, there was a war going on. And you know how long that war went on for? 100 years on and off between France and England. There's a civil war as well in France, and other nations got involved. If you were born in 1350, you were born into a war, and you probably died while that war was continuing. There was a war going on, and it's the same for us in this world. We are born, whether you're born in the 1980s or the 2000s, or earlier or later, you and I were born into a time of war. A spiritual war is going on between the devil and his demons against God's people. It's a real war that is happening. And we learn about it in our passage in Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Paul teaches us about this spiritual war and the armor of God. And when we read the whole story of Scripture, we know that Jesus is the victor. He won the victory for us over Satan, sin, and death through his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus is our victor. He died and he rose again. He ascended into heaven. And one day he's going to come back and the battle will be complete. But in this time between the two comings of Christ, his first and his second, there's a time of spiritual war. There is a battle going on. And while a Christian is safe in Christ, the devil still rages. And the devil can take away our joy, can take away our effectiveness, can ruin our witness, can steal our peace. There's a real war that is happening. And Paul wants us to be aware and to be strong in the Lord. What we see today in our passage, we're looking at Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, is the Christian life is one of spiritual warfare. But in Christ, we can be strong and we can be aware of the dangers we face. The Christian life is one of spiritual warfare. But in Christ, we can be strong and aware of the dangers that we face. Now, if you're just joining us today, we are near the end of this letter, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Remember, the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul has been teaching the church at Ephesus the gospel. There is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The Son has come and redeemed us by his blood. The Holy Spirit has sealed us for the day of redemption. In the gospel, we learn that we were dead in our sins, but God made us alive in Christ. God saves us by his grace, not by our efforts or our works. We are saved through faith in Jesus. And God makes us a new creation, one people of Jews and Gentiles, giving glory to God. Paul teaches us about that in Ephesians 1-3. Then the second half of Ephesians 4-6, Paul teaches us how to live the Christian life. And we've been walking through that here in 2025. And every week there's a new instruction. One instruction after another. By God's grace, through the power of the Spirit, we live differently to glorify God, to try to live worthy of our great calling. And now we've reached the end of Paul's letter, as he's been instructing us as believers. And here is the conclusion of the letter. And what we see here is Paul calls us as believers to be strong in the Lord and to take on the full armor of God. Paul gives us this spiritual analogy of a soldier putting on his armor, gearing up for the battle, being strong because there is a battle raging. There is a war that is happening. And if you're a believer, you are taking part in it today. And Paul helps us here. And what we see at the beginning of this section is Paul, there's a call to be strong. There's a battle. We need God's strength. And we need to be aware of the real enemy that we face. So we're going to look at that today, verses 10 to 13. And next week, we'll look at 14 to the end of 20. And we'll learn about the actual armor of God itself. What it is, how we put it on and take it on and take up the fight. But today, we're just going to look at 10 to 13. And we're going to consider two B's with me. First, be strong in the Lord. And second, be aware of the danger that you and I face. So two B's. First, be strong in the Lord. And second, be aware of the dangers that you and I face. So first, be strong in the Lord. This is what we see in verses 10 to 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The Christian life often is difficult and challenging. It requires great effort and great strength. And some situations in the Christian life require extraordinary strength and perseverance. A challenging marriage, a challenging workplace, an illness that lasts for years or decades, relational tension, being unsure about the future. All of these things require great strength as we seek to follow Christ. All that we've read in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 require great strength. And here, at the end of this letter, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. And that's how this passage starts off. Finally. Well, after Paul has said all these things, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might. How is a Christian going to live his or her faith? Well, we do it in God's strength. And that's what Paul says here. Be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might. Notice how Paul calls us to be strong, but he doesn't say be strong in yourself. He says, what does he say? Be strong in the Lord. In the Lord, we are called to be strong. God himself, Christ, gives us a spiritual power and strength. And this is the power that we need if we're going to be a godly husband, godly wife, godly parent, godly child, godly single person. We need strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Think of the strength of God's might. creating stars, creating universe, upholding the universe. There's no one more powerful than God. And God gives us the power to follow him, to say no to temptation, to say yes to him, yes to the way of holiness. And this is what we're called to do. We're called to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Guys, a common mistake that we make as Christians is to rely on our own strength. Our hearts are filled with anxiety. Our hearts are filled with temptation. There's a situation that's too hard for us that we face. We're tempted to just try to kind of pull ourselves together and do it in our own strength, but we can't. Actually, we're as Christians, we need to rely on God and his power and his strength. And this actually, verse 10 here of chapter 6 is a gracious invitation. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We are not called to do the Christian life in our own strength. We need God's power, his supernatural strength to strengthen us to do the good works that he's called us to. Keep a finger in Ephesians and look at a little passage in Philippians. Notice how Paul speaks about this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. And there's a lot of references today, so bear with me. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We are called to work out our salvation, but it's only because God is working in us. He's that to will and to work, to do what is holy, to do what is right. We are need to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Maybe you say, okay, I hear that, but how do I actually do it? You know, when my phone is on the low battery mode, the little thing shows me, low battery mode, my phone gets new power as I plug it in and to the wall, right, to the cord. How do we get fresh strength? How do you leave here today and get fresh strength from the Lord and the strength of his might? Well, I think there's lots of ways that Scripture invites us to do this. First is ask him. Ask God for strength and power. As you face that challenging situation that you're tempted with bitterness, feels too strong not to be bitter, feels too strong not to gossip and complain, ask God, God, give me strength. I need strength right here, God. I can't do it. We ask him. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. We ask God for that strength. Can I encourage you this week? Ask God for strength as you try to be faithful to Jesus. Say, Lord, I can't do this. You got to strengthen me. Pray to him. Another way we experience his power is by abiding in Christ. In John chapter 15, Jesus gives us imagery of the vine. And we're called to abide in him. As we abide in Christ, we bear much fruit. It's his life. His power within us, empowering us to live a holy life. We find strength in God as we draw near to Christ in our hearts. As we spend time praying to him and drawing near to him, filling our minds with scripture. As we are reminded of the character of God, we find a fresh strengthening. Hasn't that been your experience as well? Maybe you feel so weak and then you read God's word. You remember who he is, how he helps his people, and your heart gets a little stronger. Oh, I can face this situation because God is with me. God said he'd never leave me or forsake me. Actually, I can do it. This feels really hard, but Lord, empower me. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do it in your strength. As we delight in God, our hearts are strengthened as we find a fresh satisfaction in God. Our hearts are strengthened to do what is right, to fight the spiritual battle. The Holy Spirit, of course, gives us strength. How do we get strong in the Lord? Well, we rely on the Holy Spirit. We ask God the Spirit to fill us. 2 Timothy 1:7 said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Rely on the Holy Spirit this week. Keep a finger here in Ephesians and look with me at another promise of power in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. And you know, this Isaiah 40, verses 30. Now, this passage came to me, my mind this morning from that, I think it's a Chris Tomlin edition, rendition. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Here's the passage. Ephesians 40, 30 to 31. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. Actually, back it up to 29. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Hold on to that verse this week. Say, God, I'm faint. I have no strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Read those verses this week and say, Lord, I don't have the strength to follow you. I need you to give me this fresh strength. And you promised to do it. Believe his word and act in faith. Guys, we need to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. As you go into this new week of life, be strong in the Lord. Don't rely on your strength. Rely on God's strength. He will strengthen you. Hear this as a gracious invitation from our good God. So our passage here begins with that instruction, be strong in the Lord. But notice there's a couple other instructions in verses 11 to 12. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then going forward to verse 13, take up the whole armor of God. Now, as we go into our week, we do need to take on the armor of God. Now, we're going to look at this next week, so I'm not going to spend time explaining it, but I'd encourage you, why don't you this week look through Ephesians 6, 14 to 20. Think about each piece of the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes that are equipped with the readiness given by the gospel of peace, shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword, which is the word of God. Think about each of those things and say, Lord, help me to put on the armor of God this week. That's what we're called to do. And as we put on the armor of God, we need God's strength. We need his power. Notice another thing that we need his power for, and it's verse 13. It's that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. As we seek to follow Christ, we need God's power to stand firm. When temptation is coming over and over and over again, unrelenting, when the trials just don't seem to stop, when it feels like you're in a season of darkness, how are you going to stand firm? Only by God's power. God, I need your power. Could I encourage you, brothers and sisters, rely on his power. You know, I've been a Christian now for 23 years. And I've seen God give me power again and again. Where I've entered into situations that felt impossibly difficult. And God has helped me again and again. I've gone through seasons where I've tried to rely on my own strength. And I forget about relying on God's power. And he reminds me to rely on him. Brothers and sisters, let's rely on God's strength this week. Let's rely on his power, not on our own. The Christian life is a spiritual battle. But we are called to be strong in the Lord. That's the first B. The second B is be aware of the spiritual dangers that we face. Be aware of the spiritual danger that you and I face. Be aware. And we learn about this in our passage here. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Think about all these things that we see. The word of God here is telling us about our enemy and the real dangers that we face as Christians. I always love this quote from C.S. Lewis. It's from his book, Screwtape Letters. And if you have not read that book, can I just encourage you to put it on your reading list and read it this year? It's a book I try to read once a year or so, but it is so insightful into the everyday spiritual battle that we face. But I appreciate C.S. Lewis, in the intro, he says this when thinking about these things. He says, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils, about demons and the demonic. Two errors. One error is to disbelieve in their existence. And that's our culture, right? You believe in demons and the devil? Aren't we people of science now? Who actually believes in demons anymore? That's one error, is to disbelieve in the demons and the demonic. But the other error is this, is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. An excessive and unhealthy interest. And the devil is happy with both of those errors. If you're obsessed about spiritual warfare and behind every news article you see, every situation is the devil and demons, and you're obsessed about it, that is also an error, and you're not walking in the scriptural balance. What we do need to do is be aware there is a spiritual reality, and there are real spiritual dangers that you and I face. And what we learn about this in our passage in verses 10 to 13, we learn about the schemes of the devil, we learn about the spiritual forces opposed to us, and we learn about the evil day. So look at those three things. First, the schemes of the devil. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, I asked my kids last night, what does that word schemes mean? To make sure that they knew what schemes are. And schemes are the plans of the devil. See, the devil is a schemer. He's planning. He's plotting our demise and our ruin. And we see here, stand against the schemes of the devil. This is referring to Satan. Now, the Bible teaches that Satan, also known as the devil, is a real being. And he's much more powerful than you and I. And he's been around for a lot longer. The devil is a fallen angel. He was once good, and then he fell away. And he's the leader of all the demonic. And he's real. And the Bible, and where Paul says, he's a schemer. He's plotting the demise of God's people. He's plotting our ruin. He's always planning your fall. Planning ways that you might sin and trip up. Plotting ways that you might not have any joy in God and might be bitter. He's plotting ways to trip us up. But his days are numbered. And the Bible says that he can only do what God allows. Satan tries to tempt us, to trick us, but then God uses that for our good, to teach us to trust in God and to walk by faith and put on the armor of God. All the things that the devil uses against us, God ends up using for our good, which is amazing how God does that. But keep a finger in Ephesians and go back to Genesis and look at how we learn about the scheming nature of the devil. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Adam and Eve were in the garden. God was teaching them to trust in him. He gave them an instruction. You can eat from all the trees, but there's one that you must not eat. That is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat of that, you will surely die. See, God was giving them a chance to obey and to exercise their faith. And this is the story of the fall. And notice how we learn about the crafty, scheming nature of Satan. So Genesis 3, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. So Satan comes in the form of a servant here, or of a serpent here. And Satan comes to the woman, we see in verse 1, and he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? So notice the scheming nature here of Satan. God did not say you cannot eat of any tree in the garden. That's not what God says in Genesis 2. But Satan is misquoting and trying to confuse and to try to trick Eve. Did God actually say you should not eat of any tree in the garden? It's getting Eve to question. Getting Adam and Eve to be confused. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So Eve responded to Satan, but Satan's a schemer. So he's trying to confuse her, also get her to question God's word. Did God really say you can't eat of those trees? And now the schemer responds, verse 4, "But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die." Now Satan is directly contradicting God's word. This is one way that Satan is scheming against us. He's getting us to question God's word and to disbelieve it. Did God really say you can't have sex before marriage? Did God really say there's only two genders? Did God really say that those things, you know, that you should live a life of purity? Did God really say those things? He gets us to question. And he tempts us to disbelieve. God didn't really say that. And now look at how the devil says, "You will not surely die." He's contradicting God's word. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." What's Satan doing here as a schemer? He's saying God doesn't really want your best interests. God's saying don't do that thing, don't return evil for evil, because he doesn't really care about you. All he cares about is his glory and himself. He doesn't really care about you. He doesn't have your best interest in mind. This is good for us to remember when we face temptation. The devil is a schemer. He's very crafty. Going back to Ephesians. The devil. So one of the dangers that we face are the schemes of the devil. He's very tricky. Remember that. The devil doesn't really love you. He doesn't care for you. He wants your ruin. He wants to steal your joy. He's a schemer. He wants you to question God's word, and he wants you to question God's character. Really, that you'll follow him and his design. It's not like Satan wants your best. He's in it for your best interests. He wants your allegiance. He's a schemer. So we need to be aware of the dangers we face. Look at verse 12. We learn about the spiritual forces that oppose us. Paul says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Now this is the kind of a wrestling image of the soldier. In the Christian walk, our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not a human. But our opponents are spiritual. Look at this. "But we wrestle against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Now, these are four different, maybe three, and then one is a summarizing term, different ways of speaking of the unseen demonic realm. The Bible teaches that there really are angels and demons that we can't see. There's angels and demons around us. We don't see them, but they are real. And here Paul speaks about rulers, authorities. These are the demonic realm, servants of Satan, demons, trying to trip us up, trying to lead us away from God and his word. Paul says these are the ones that we're wrestling against. We don't see them. The demon of sexual sin, the demon of greed, the demons of gluttony, all kinds of demonic forces that we don't know about. And maybe we'd like to know. It'd be kind of interesting to have a little chart of here's all the ways the demonic realm is set up and all the ways that they fight against us. But Scripture doesn't tell us. It just tells us that they are out there. They exist. There's a real enemy that we face. There's a real demonic nature, demons that are ruling, fighting against us. It says we wrestle against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil. Guys, do not be unaware. There are demonic forces fighting against God's people. There is a real spiritual battle that you and I face every day. Behind false gods, behind idols, the Bible says there are demons. And certainly there's all kinds of false religions. And behind those are demonic forces. Behind Islam is a demonic force. Behind distortions of Christianity, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, this is a demonic force. Demons are real. The New Age movement, various forms of earth worship, there are real demonic forces behind that. Paul calls them teachings, doctrines of demons in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Guys, our culture says that that's all fairy tales and nonsense, but the Bible tells us the truth. And this is not something to mess around with, but it's something to be aware of. That's a real danger that we face, real opponents. So there's schemes, there's spiritual forces, but there's also the evil day. Look at this in verse 13. Spiritual forces and of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may withstand in the evil day. Now, one way Paul speaks about, the scripture speaks about this current time that we live in is it's the present evil age. It's the time between Jesus' ascent and his return. And it's the overlap of two ages. There's the age to come, the new heavens, the new earth, God's kingdom. And if you're Christian, you're part of it. That's happening. And there's the evil age. So there's these two ages and they're overlapping each other right now. One day the evil age will end and it's the kingdom of God, the new heavens, the new earth. But right now it's these two ages overlapping. And some days that we face as Christians are particularly hard. Some commentators think that's what it's talking about, the evil day. It's a really, really, really hard day. You got a call from your friend who's been following Christ for years and they said, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. You get a call from your friend, an email, I've just left my spouse to pursue this relationship with somebody else. Evil way, it's an evil day. It's a really hard day. It's a dark day. It manifests itself in all kinds of ways. And we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to take up the armor of God because there are evil, really, really hard days. The whole age is characterized by evil and unbelief, but some days are really, really hard. And in those days, don't rely on your own strength. Be strengthened in the Lord. Put on the armor of God. Trust in him. Now, maybe you say, this all feels a bit theoretical. How do I apply this to my life every day? You talk about the spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, but what about when I go home today? How do I live this out? Well, I think actually, just look at Ephesians 4-6. Paul has given us all kinds of instructions about how to follow him. And I think all of these ways, in all of these things, there is a spiritual component. The devil's scheming. There are spiritual forces opposing us. There's the evil that we face. Ephesians 4, 1-10, we're called to have unity in the church. Now the devil is scheming how to destroy unity, how we might pursue our own selfish agenda and be disunited. In Ephesians 4, 14-15, called to put away bad doctrine and grow in spiritual maturity. Of course, the devil schemes of all kinds of distortions about Christianity. Paul calls us in Ephesians 4:17 to turn away from worldliness. In 4:26 to put away sinful anger. 4:29 to put away corrupting talk. 4:32 to put away bitterness and to show forgiveness. The devil's scheming that you would be bitter, that you would hold on to a grudge and fill your mind with bitterness. How are you going to fight bitterness? It's a real spiritual battle. Well, we put on the armor of God. We'd be strong in the Lord. Say, God, help me. I don't want to be bitter. But the devil, demons are working that you would be bitter and you'd have sinful anger. In Ephesians 5:3, we learn about the danger of sexual sin. The devil scheming that you would give in to sexual sin. And look at pornography, have sex outside of marriage. The devil is tempting us, scheming that we would sin sexually. Ephesians 5:16 warns about not wasting our time, making the best use of the time. And think about all the ways that we are idle, scrolling our phones, or just wasting time. It's part of the schemes of the devil to make us ineffective, to make us inefficient. We're warned not to get drunk in Ephesians 5:18. 5:22, wives are called to submit to their husbands. Of course, the devil scheming that wives would not submit to their husbands. There's schemes, the culture of radical feminism, encouraging women to take on your own leadership. Why would you need to submit to someone else, to a husband? Of course, the devil schemes against husbands when we're called to sacrificially love our wives, leading us away, leading us to be harsh, to not love our wives sacrificially or be faithful. The devil's scheming. Bible call, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, children are called to obey their parents. Children, did you know God wants you to obey your parents and the devil doesn't want you to do that? Did you know that? Satan is pleased when you disobey your parents. He's scheming against you. Parents are called to discipline their children, to raise them in the Lord. The devil doesn't want you to do that. I know it's really hard to teach our children the gospel, but that's part of it. It's a spiritual battle. The devil doesn't want you to do that. There is a spiritual battle that we face. We're called to Ephesians, as it continues, to not live for ourselves, but to live for the fear of the Lord. We're called to use our places of leadership in a selfless way. All of these things require spiritual strength. And there's a spiritual battle in all of the Christian life. It's not just the spooky things like the movie Exorcist or other kind of movies out there where there's demons and exorcisms. But actually, the everyday Christian life is a spiritual battle. Will I love Jesus or will I love self? Will I choose God or will I choose sin? There's a spiritual battle happening every day in our lives. And Paul wants us to be aware of that and to be strong in him. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. We're so glad that you are here with us. But hear the warning from God's word about this spiritual battle. Ephesians 2, listen, remember what it says in Ephesians 2. It says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And once you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among the sons of disobedience. That's Satan, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, the mind, or by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. If you're not a Christian, you are following the path of Satan. Maybe you say, but I don't even believe in Satan. How could I be following him? Well, just because you don't believe in something doesn't mean it's not real or doesn't exist. The Bible says that Satan is real, and if we're not following Christ, we're actually following him. You are following one who will not lead you to eternal life. And we say, we encourage you, turn away from him. Turn to Jesus, who loves you, who died for you on the cross. Believe on Christ and you will be saved. You get to serve a much better master, King Jesus. He conquered sin and Satan and death. Believe on him. Now, if you're here today as a believer, this text just reminds us there's a real battle we face, but we have a real victory in Jesus Christ. He's given us armor. He's invited us to find strength in him. He's given us the resources that we need. The Bible says in Corinthians that we are never tempted beyond what we can endure. But with every temptation, there is a way out. Friend, God is with you. He will help you as you face these spiritual battles this week. Don't lose heart. Jesus is more powerful than the devil. And Jesus has given us victory. And that leads to the final B. I know I said there's only two B's, but I'll be full Baptist and give you a third B. Be strong. Be aware. The third one is believe in Christ and his victory. Believe in Christ and his finished work, his victory. And I want to end with that note because it's a word of encouragement to us. In John chapter 16, verse 33, believe again, guys, in the finished work of Christ. John, look, and let's let this be the final word that we hear. John 16, 33, This is another great passage to memorize. We need to be strong. We need to be aware. But believe in the finished work of Christ. He's conquered Satan and death. We don't have to be afraid. We can trust in him. Listen to what Jesus says here. Believe in Christ. Jesus said this, John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen.